walks up to these group of fishermen. I mean, real fishermen. And these guys, they made their living fishing. And Jesus walks up to these guys and he says, I want you guys to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. And so they did. And they began to follow Jesus, and their life was just filled with just such a so many, many amazing, wonderful events. And they spent the next 3.5 years following Jesus, learning how to really become fishers of men. And then of course, we know the story. Jesus was arrested and crucified, and then he rose from the dead. And this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 21. This is the last chapter in the book of John. And this, of course, is after Jesus was crucified and after he had risen from the dead. He had appeared to the disciples a couple of times, and this is the third time that he appears to them. And it's John chapter 21 and verse 1. And it says this. After these things, and these things, you could go back to chapter 20 and chapter 19 and read what these things were. But these things were after Jesus was crucified, after Jesus was resurrected, after they saw the empty tomb. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. The two others were probably, most people say, Andrew and Philip. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Simon Peter looks at the group and he says, guys, I'm going fishing. You know, I'm going fishing because fishing's what I know to do. Fishing is what I know how to do. And I really haven't been fishing since I met Jesus. I really haven't been fishing in about 3.5 years. And Jesus is gone, and I don't know what else to do right now. I've been waiting on him. And I haven't seen him. He said, wait on him. And I haven't seen him. And so I think I'll just go fishing. I know how to fish. I'm just going to go fishing. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. So just a little bit of background so you'll kind of understand what was going on. Shortly after Jesus had risen from the dead, he's with his disciples and he says, guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over to Galilee. I want you to go over to the mountain in Galilee and wait on me there. And I'm going to meet you over there in Galilee. Meet me on the mountain. Go over there and wait for me. So they did. They went over there and they waited. And they waited for a while. And it seems that at least Peter, maybe all of them, begin to get a little bit discouraged because Jesus didn't show up maybe as fast as they thought Jesus would show up. And you probably know that feeling. You probably understand what that's like. You probably know what it's like to pray for something and you want Jesus to show up and he doesn't show up quite as fast as you were hoping that he would show up. He doesn't work quite as fast as you thought he would work, and so you get a little restless and you get a little discouraged. You probably know what it's like Maybe when Jesus has spoke to you and Jesus has told you to wait, to just slow down, be patient, and wait. You probably know how hard it is to wait. Some of us can become very discouraged waiting on Jesus. Some of us are not very good at waiting. And I'll admit to you, because I am the one up here and this happens way too often, but somebody has to confess, right? I'm not good at waiting. I'm not very good at waiting. I'm not always a patient person. I try to be. I want to be. When I go to Walmart, my patience is gone before I get to Walmart. I mean, it's gone. When Cindy's driving and we get to Walmart and get ready to pull into the parking lot, before she stops, she's telling me, "Don't get out of the car until I stop the car." And she does this often. I think she's probably done this as we're coming into the parking lot here. "Don't get out of the car until I stop the car." Because when I get to Walmart, I want to go in, get what I need, and get back out. And so she's saying, "Don't stop the car." And you have to understand, when we go to Walmart, Cindy will burn a tank of gas finding that parking spot up front. And so as she's driving by that front door, I just open the door, roll out, you know, and get up so that I can go into Walmart. And actually, I don't go into Walmart. I just stand there and wait for her to park and wait for her to come up there. And I know y'all are thinking, "He is such a horrible husband." I know. And I'm working on that, and I'm going to repent of that. I mean, I don't ever say anymore. I never say anymore, "This is a 24-hour Walmart, but we don't have 24 hours. Let's go." I never say that anymore. So I'm coming along. But Walmart's not a place to work on your patience. You know, I go in, and I promise you this. I always, when I get ready to go check out, always, because God sees me coming, and He says, "Glenn needs this," I always get in line in the troubled line. Always. Amen. Always. Somebody either doesn't have their money, or somebody waits till every little thing's been scanned, and then they open up their billfold or they open up their pocketbook and they start hunting for their money. And it's always, or it's the wrong price and they got to send the guy to check. Always it's me. And I don't do very well. I'm not very good at waiting. And sometimes, folks, we're not very good at waiting on Jesus. We're just not very good at waiting. Our society helps us be not very good at waiting. Everything is so instant in this society. And so we've grown impatient even waiting on Jesus. Here's Jesus, and he says, "You guys go wait for me on the mountain." And Peter's going, "I've waited long enough. I can't wait anymore. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." Now here's where some scholars really differ in what took place that day. And it's just amazing. So nobody really agrees on what took place, but they go in two different directions. Some of the scholars, and I read both of them this week, some of the scholars say that when Peter went fishing, that he was being disobedient, that God had told him, "You go wait, and you know, you just wait on me." And so he was being disobedient by going fishing. Half of the scholars say, "Well, no. You know, he was just doing something while he was waiting, and he was not disobedient when he went fishing." And both sides write whole chapters and whole books on why Peter was being disobedient or why Peter wasn't being disobedient. And whichever one I'm reading, I can go with it. It makes so much sense, and I think, well, yeah, that makes sense, and that makes sense. But as I was reading it this week, I got to thinking, well, this is also overcomplicated. You know, it seems to me maybe we're overcomplicating. Maybe it's just overcomplicated for my little mind. And I got to thinking, well, you know, if Jesus asks you to do something, if Jesus speaks to you, if Jesus asks you to do something and you don't do it, are you obedient or disobedient? If Jesus asks you to do something and you don't do it, are you obedient or disobedient? What's the answer? Disobedient. And so I'm just going this morning with Peter was disobedient. We can go with that for the sake of the sermon. And very, very likely, Peter was discouraged. And often in our life, if we're not careful, discouragement will lead to disobedience. We just jump into something because waiting on Jesus was just too hard for us, and we become a little just a little impatient, and we jump ahead of God. And so Peter says, well, I'm going fishing. Now, you know what the real bad thing about that was? Peter said, I'm going fishing, and you know what it says next, right? The rest of the guys followed him. The rest of the guys just joined in Peter's disobedience. And I want you to listen to me, Christian, for one second. Just pay attention for one quick second. No, pay attention the rest of the sermon, you know. But we got to be careful what we do. We have to think through what we are doing. We have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we do. We have to be careful what we say because other people will do what we do. You influence somebody, other people will repeat what we say. We have to be careful what we do. We have to be careful what we say. Here's Jesus says, go up on the mountain and wait. And here's Peter. He's supposed to be waiting, but he can't wait. He can't wait. I mean, when Jesus tells us to wait, we are to wait. Sometimes when we pray and we seek God's guidance in something, he tells us yes, and we love the yes, don't we? Sometimes God tells us no, and that's hard. For me, And I bet maybe some of you are like me. For me, wait is harder than no. Wait is more difficult than no. And I think it was more difficult for Peter than no would have been. For us, sometimes we think waiting is impossible. Waiting on God is impossible. I have my own timing. I have my own plans. And waiting's a waste of time. I can do something about this. I can get this done. I can take care of this. I've waited so long. I've waited for God here, and I've waited for God there, and I've waited, and I've waited, and I've waited. And the next thing you know, we jump right into disobedience. And here's the thing. When we do that, so often we don't even know we jumped into disobedience. We just jump into it because we're tired of waiting, and we think, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to fix this, and we just jump into disobedience without even knowing that we just jumped in to disobedience. And you know what? You know what's so strange about that? Often, we will jump into doing something that eventually God was going to let us do anyway, but he had told us to wait. It wasn't that what we end up doing that our actions were wrong. It's just that our attitude was wrong. We didn't wait on God, and what would have been a tremendous blessing turns out to be kind of a waste of time. It's just a waste. Verse 4, but when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. So Jesus finally comes, as he told him he would. Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And of course, they didn't know it was Jesus. Why? Because they weren't there. They didn't wait. They were out in the boat fishing, so they didn't know. They couldn't see that it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, don't you love it? Hey, when we mess up, God doesn't disown us. He still calls them children. These are still His children. These are still His family. He says, children, have you any food? And they answered Him, no. Now pause there for just a moment. I just want to remind you again of Peter's attitude. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait. I've got to do this. I've got to do something. I've got to take care of myself. I'm not waiting any longer on Jesus. I can't. I'm just going to go fishing. And he did, and he wasted his time. Now, he didn't waste his time waiting. He wasted his time by not waiting. He wasted his time fishing, and he caught nothing. Now, and Peter was a fisherman. He was a skilled fisherman. Until he forsook everything to follow Jesus, he made a living fishing. He was experienced. He was an expert at fishing. He knew where the fish were. He knew when to fish. He knew how to fish. But he didn't catch any fish. And that's an incredible stroke of bad luck. Or Jesus had something to do with it. And I'm going that Jesus had something to do with it. In my mind, I picture Jesus telling the fish, don't go anywhere near that net. You know, just stay away from that net for now, you know, until the timing's right. You know, just stay away from it. And I can't judge Peter too harshly. As a matter of fact, I'm not in the position to judge Peter at all. And you probably are not either. Because sometimes I forget and I rush forward. Sometimes I forget that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I forget that, or maybe ignore that. And instead of waiting, I rush in and try to fix something God's already got plans to supply all of my needs. Sometimes we rush in and we don't wait. Peter, instead of waiting, he did the only thing he thought he could do, and that was catch fish. He caught fish all of his life. He knew where they were. He probably could follow the movements of fish any given season, any given time of day. But this time he couldn't catch any fish. The one thing he knew to do, he couldn't do. Verse 6, and he, Jesus, said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and who is that? John. Exactly. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals. Jesus is cooking out, right? This is great. And fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So here's Peter. He goes out. He fishes all night. And he catches nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. There's no Coke cans in his net. No trash, no nothing. He catches nothing. And what happens? Jesus comes along. And any time Jesus gets involved, things change. Jesus changes everything. Jesus tells them to put the net on the other side, and they catch a bunch of fish. Now, I know often in many different places today, this is a sermon where they teach the prosperity gospel. That's not what this is about at all. They did catch a bunch of fish, but it's not about the amount of fish. It's about without Jesus, what Peter did was a waste of time. Just an absolute waste of time. But when Jesus got involved, he supplied the need. He took care of the need. And so often we go out without God, and it's just a waste of time, just a waste of our time. But when we include Jesus in everything, he provides for us. He takes care of us. He looks after his children. Sometimes in your Christian life, probably far more often than you like, Jesus is going to ask you to wait. And Jesus is going to ask you to be patient. And the best thing that you could ever do is wait and be patient. Wait and be patient. There's only one time maybe that you shouldn't wait. And Peter showed it to us in this scripture. You know what that one time was? When he realized Jesus was on the shore, he couldn't wait to get there. He couldn't wait to get there. Peter had made a mistake. Peter had messed up by not waiting on Jesus. But when he realized Jesus was there, he didn't wait to get to Jesus. And that's what I want you to see this morning. You mess up. You mess up. Sometimes you mess up by not waiting on Jesus. Sometimes you mess up when you get involved in this or you get involved in that and you allow some sin into your life. You mess up. You may have to do a lot of waiting, but when you mess up, don't wait to get to Jesus. Don't wait. Get to Jesus as fast as you can get to Jesus. Everything else, when Jesus says, wait and be patient, you wait and be patient. But when you've messed up and you see Jesus, you run to Jesus. Because he's the only one that can fix that problem. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me this morning. We're going to have just a short time of invitation, and then we're going to do communion. And we're going to do it in a little different way than you've ever done it before, and I hope you enjoy it. Praise team, if you would, come this morning. For some of you here this morning, maybe Jesus has been tugging on your heart for a long time. He's been speaking to you about something in your life, and you've waited. And you've waited, and you've waited, and you have not responded. I encourage you this morning, come get around the altar. Don't wait any longer. Just come and respond to Jesus. For others that are here this morning, Jesus has asked you to wait on something. You prayed about something. You want something to take place in your life. You're wanting this in your life. You're wanting that in your life. And Jesus is saying, just be patient. Just wait. And right now, you think, I don't know if I can wait any longer. I'll bet you if you come and you just spend a few moments praying and speaking with Jesus, he'll give you the strength to wait. He'll help you wait. Maybe somebody's here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you, don't wait another day. Too many people are going to go off into eternity today because they waited too long to come to Jesus. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you'll come, I'll show you how you can know. I'll help you know that. All of you, right now, as Jesus has spoken to you, I just encourage you, you respond to Jesus. because he's spoken to you. So, folks, you sing as they sing, you come.